three strikes and more. A man steals several videotapes from the friendly neighborhood Kmart and gets arrested. When sentenced for these petty thefts, he's cast into prison for life. Another man steals several golf clubs, and he too gets arrested for theft. When sentenced, he too is sent to prison for life. Both men committed their thievery in California at a time when the infamous three strikes law was in effect, and as both men had at least two prior felonies, both fell victim to the statute. Both men had the added misfortune in appealing before the present Supreme Court, which promptly upheld the constitutionality of California's law, meaning the two men, Gary Ewing, the golf club guy, and Leandro Andrade, the videotapes guy, will have to serve at least 25 years to life. Andrade, sentenced consecutively on two counts, one count each for each videotape, was sentenced to 50 years to life in California gulags. In a 5-4 decisions in Ewing versus California and Lockyer versus Andrade, the nation's highest tribunal let stand these extremely punitive sanctions, saying essentially it would not second-guess the legislature. Justice Stephen Breyer, writing for the minority in Ewing, argued that Ewing, his recidivism notwithstanding, had made a strong claim that the sentence was, quote, disproportionate, unquote, given the relatively minor charges to theft of three golf clubs. In Andrade, it was Justice David Souter who opined that the California court's decision was, quote, irrational, unquote, saying, quote, Andrade did not somehow become twice as dangerous to society when he stole the second handful of videotapes, unquote. Both cases reveal the power in the nation's courts of that old idea of states' rights. In short, almost anything goes. What makes it even more alarming is what is happening in California today. At the time, Messrs. Ewing and Andrade have to look at quarter century and half century prison bits. In San Francisco, leading members and executives of the city's police department have been indicted by grand juries for their role in the police cover-up of a brutal attack on civilians. What distinguishes these cases is that Fagan did most of his wilding in the predominantly black Bayview area, and except for an occasional anger management class, the department ignored it. The fajita caper took place on Union Street, an upscale part of town. Oh yeah, and the Union Street people were white. What's the connection, you wonder? Well, consider this. One man beats and hurts people repeatedly, sending half a dozen to the hospital. Another guy steals three golf clubs. Another guy steals several videotapes. All three may be called repeat offenders. But who goes to jail? For life. It may be shown, on the other hand, that Fagan, as a cop, works for the system, and because of the rank and power of his father, who is among the indictees, may never be sanctioned for the legalized violence of which he is a part. Indeed, after the current scandal plays itself out, neither he nor any of the other nine cops involved may ever see the inside of a prison cell. One may, in fact, rise to the highest levels of the department, putting others in jail for their breaches of the law and paid well by the citizens of the city, while two others languish in a man-made brick and steel hell for the rest of their days because the nation's highest court dare not second-guess the legislature. That is the face of the law today as America enters a new century, remarkably similar to that of the old. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.